prepare for tonight's lecture, anything. So, I want you to ask some questions, and I will answer for the question as I have nothing in my mind right now. The counting. If you, it looks like different from counting breathing. Practice looks like different from the shikantaza. But actually, if you, you know, practice it, not much difference. Because purpose of counting breathing practice is not to count. No, it is quite easy to count your breathing, you know, if you try to count, just count. Why it is difficult is you have to have right posture, and you have to make and all parts of your body should participate in the practice of counting breathing, and your mind should follow the counting, and your arm and mudra and legs and spines and, you know, muscles should join, participate the counting breathing practice. And it is more than concentration. It is more than to be concentrated on your counting. Concentration usually means mental practice, you know. But counting breathing practice is not just mental practice, but also physical practice too. Then, not much difference between shikantaza and counting breathing practice. Shikantaza means to practice zazen with your whole body and mind. That is shikantaza. So maybe after you you can practice counting breathing practice pretty well, you can practice following breathing practice to just, you know, follow your breathing without counting. Your mind is always in on breathing, and your physical practice is participate the breathing. That is to follow the breathing, and shikantaza, you know, more than that. You don't even try to follow your breathing. Maybe you can say more advanced practice. Hi. The rituals, you know, also before you get accustomed to it, it may be, you know, it is not so natural to you, you know. Especially for you, you know, you are not familiar with this kind of practice, bowing. So, but it is the same thing with counting, breathing practice. Our way of breathing may be very unfamiliar with you. So, unless you try, you know, pretty hard to take deeper breathing. It may be difficult to have deeper breathing, and bowing is also maybe difficult until you get accustomed to it. But to bow to Buddha, you know, means to attain selflessness. It means that when you get accustomed to, when you make bow thousands of times, you will lose your ego. Ego. You will not have too much ego. We understand in that way. I don't know how you feel, but that is the reason why we practice bow. Even to put your hand together, it, you know, maybe when you do it for the first time, you will feel funny, you know. Brush for a feeling you may have. maybe I cannot explain so well about it, you know. Now, while you are doing over and over again, you will understand what it is. It is that kind of thing. Through practice, you will, through physical practice, you will have spiritual freedom too. Okay, it may not be okay, but I cannot explain so well. Hi.
Is there something about the difference between the mission of Jesus Christ and that of Buddha?
Between what?
The mission of Jesus Christ and the mission of Jesus Christ and that of Buddha.
Oh. What did I couldn't follow you. The last part.
I was wondering if you could compare the messages of Jesus Christ and those of Buddha.
I don't know Christianity so at all, you know. Maybe I studied, you know, very you know, as a Buddhist, you know. I was not Christian. So, you know, my understanding will not be appropriate, good understanding of Christianity, because I don't believe in God or I have no I have no position, you know, in as a Christian, you know, so I'm afraid to say anything about Christianity because I don't know, you know. But I'm just as a Buddhist, I want to study our way, and I want to be very critical with Buddhism, not with other religions, as we are Buddhist. If it is difficult for me to believe his teaching, I must have some doubt, and I must have some criticism, you know, about it. About Buddha's teaching. I have some, you know, writers. I don't feel so bad if I criticize Buddhism. As I should criticize me, you know. But I don't want to criticize others. Religion, which I don't know so well. And if I talk about when I start to think about Christianity, you know, as a Buddhist, I have big doubt or how Christian people believe in God. You know, I don't understand so well. I can imagine or I can guess, you know, how they believe in God. So I cannot compare Christianity to Buddhism. And of course, some Buddhists, some teacher, Buddhist teacher, who was once Christian, you know, can compare Buddhism to Christianity. Like Uchiyama Roshi, who lived in Kyoto, he was a once he was a Christian minister, and he converted to Buddhism. So he knows both Christianity and Buddhism. I'm sorry, I cannot, answer. Excuse me, I don't want to say anything about Christianity. You know, I'm completely blind. Samadhi is mostly it is understood deep concentration of especially mind. That is samadhi. Then it's not just samadhi. Then it's not a kind of state of mind. It is more than that. If I try to explain about it, I have to tell you the history of Zen, starting from pre-Buddhistic practice and Hinayana practice and Mahayana practice and Zen practice. The background of the practice or understanding of practice is different, not the same. The other day I explained about sightseeing. <That's it. coughs> There's many kinds of samadhi, if you practice zazen to practice various samadhi. That is a kind of sightseeing practice, The purpose of practice for us is to find the deep meaning in our everyday life and in various beings, to have complete, not I cannot say complete, but because I have no other word for that, I must say complete understanding of things. Not in term of comparison or dualistic sense. In other words, to live on each moment, accepting things as it is. That is zazen practice. and to go beyond the comparative value of things. This point may be a very interesting point for people who cannot accept the old standard of appreciating or evaluating things. Wealth or fame, you know, is not so important thing for us, you know, when most people put great value, find great value in money or their happiness in its worldly sense. Those, you know, standard of evaluating things belongs to comparative, you know, evaluation. We do not think it is we rather, you know, put more emphasis on thing itself, and we do not try to evaluate things in its relative sense. What is your question?
What is meant by truth? Is that
truth? Truth for us truth in its usual sense maybe opposite of false or untruth. But truth we mean it's beyond right or wrong. It's for us truth or absolute. And this is maybe I don't know, but this is for almost all the all people. This idea is very difficult to accept. Truth, which is not good or bad, not right or wrong. The truth is something which is beyond right or wrong. So, you know, Buddhists do not talk about, you know, this is right. Or we don't say this is right, that is wrong.
Would you consider it wrong to just
just...
In a bigger sense, that we would be wrong, but like in a smaller sense, that we, that now that's something that would be wrong.
Yeah, maybe wrong. I may be right, you know. Someone may say that is right, and someone may say that is not right, you know, because people's hearts. Some standpoint, from some standpoint, it may be wrong. From the other standpoint, it may be right, you know. So, it means that it is not always right, you know, or always wrong. So, you know, if so, you know, which is without taking any viewpoint, you cannot say right or wrong. Without having some standard, you cannot say you that is good or bad. So, the standard we take, you know, belongs to us, not to thing itself. So if we, you know, forget all about standard, you cannot say good or bad.
Hey. Is it important for us as Zen Buddhists not to eat meat or fish,
and if so, why? Zen Buddhist, because we didn't, especially in ancient time, they didn't eat fish or meat. Because it is directly related to the first precepts of non-killing, you know, don't kill. Directly related to the precepts of not, don't kill. And it is the most brutal, you know, way of killing animals, you know. So, we didn't. But, you know, our, you know, feeling or emotional life is more complicated right now, you know. And even though we know that, even though we don't kill animal, to eat rice or vegetables, maybe the same thing. We understand that. So we don't know, you know, to eat meat or fish, it's so bad or not, you know. Because anyway, we have to kill something when we eat something. So, our So our understanding or our understanding of precepts, you know, changed a little by little. And in China, you know, the sixth Vedic, you know. When he received a transmission from his master, he lived for a long time in fishing village. And he mixed the people, you know, would eat fish. But he ate soup. A fish. Fisherman must have eaten the meat, and he mixed his soup with rice and that may be actually violence of the preacher. So precepts, you know, according to the time and place changed little by little. And especially in Zen precepts, we observe the precepts more positive sense. Without saying not to kill, we say help, you know, living being in some way. For instance, to raise, you know, to be kind to animal, or to raise vegetables. This is more positive way of observing the precepts of not to kill. The best way of observing the precepts of not to kill is not to kill Buddha nature. It's the highest way of observing precepts. So, to practice, you know, Zazen, and to have more meaningful life, it's the way to observe our precepts. So we don't understand precepts in terms of fish or, you know, meat. But I think I'm sure meat is not so good food for us. I think so. If so, we should not eat meat so much. Not because it is violence of the precepts, but because of because fish or meat is appropriate food for us or not appropriate.
It says that you need faith, doubt, and determination. What kind of doubt?
Doubt. Doubt means, you know, try to understand completely. It's doubt, you know. To accept teaching in its true sense. When you, you know, when you don't, it, when you find something difficult to believe in, you know, then you should, you know, try to accept it until you can accept it. That is doubt.
Well, if you accept it, but you have doubt as to what. Seeing while you practice it, what you are
going. Still that doubt should go on and on until you, you know, completely get over the doubt. That is a kind of, that is a way of studying our way to continue the doubt. That is very good practice. As a Buddhist, it is good. The doubt should be very big and very long. Then you, what you attain is greater. That is just intellectual doubt, you know. I mean doubt, you know, physical doubt and everything. If you have doubt, why don't you try it? If that is true or not. Okay. Some question? In Buddhist funeral, you know, if he hasn't received precepts, we give precepts first of all, and then as a Buddhist, you know, we say farewell to them in some way, you know, in some traditional way. That's all, you know. But what we sin? Before we accept, you know, precepts, we make confession, you know, and receive precepts, and become Buddhist. And as a Buddhist, we say, you know, last word to them, or, you know, we, according to some traditional way, you know, as we say goodbye to our friend, we say goodbye to him. That is, you know, our Buddhist funeral service. And maybe we have to translate all those, you know, things into English, but which we haven't yet. That, you know, it, we understand in this way that we, you know, observe service with some certain feeling means that he also have that same feeling, you know. It is not, you know, we say that I am here means that he is there, you know. That's closely related. His being is to our, to my being. that I'm here means that you are there. And that is very true, you know. That I feel in some way means, you know, that you feel in the same way. Not exactly, may not be exactly the same, but there must be some reason, there's some difference between my feeling and your feeling. But there's some reason. And it is the law of causality. That my feeling is different from your feeling does not mean we have quite different feeling completely. It should be so, because if I think your feeling and my feeling are exactly the same, that is wrong understanding of the truth. It should be different. And why it is different is some reason of causality. So we don't mind, you know, even though my feeling is different from his feeling, who is no more, who is supposed to be no more. But no, we say no more, but it cannot be so. In some way, he exists. And there is some reason why he is now different from me or from other people who are alive. So still we believe in, you know, even though he is in other world, maybe. There must be some relationship this world and to the other world. And that relationship is still, no, in the relationship of causality, cause and effect. So one is all and all is one. And in this sense, we, you know, say farewell to everyone. You know, ego, we say ego doesn't exist. We say so because you think ego exists. So we think, we put more emphasis on egolessness, egolessness. But both is true. Ego exists. But not in some substantial way, having some special nature, you know. So in this sense, ego doesn't exist. But, you know, but it exists. Very paradoxical, but it is so. Strictly speaking, in the smallest particle of time, you exist there. But not always. You don't exist always in that way. So we say egolessness. exist, but not always exist in the same way. That is what we mean. Okay? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In time span, it goes in that way. But in space span, you know, your existence is closely related to other existence. We understand in that way. So we say egolessness. Because we think we exist here. Most people exist, understand we exist here in this way. And next life will be same person, you know, with same character. Will exist, but I don't think so. Will change into something. Not into cats or snake, but some change should take place on each one of us. So there is not much reason why we should stick to, you know, to our being. Literally, in its substantial way.
In Buddhism, as I understand it, they teach that a life and death are not opposites. Death is part of life.
Mm-hmm. Great
composure
in birth and death?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
My question is, why does it seem that most living beings try hard to extend life and to avoid death if death is
another form of living?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, you know, how we exist, you know. That is also a kind of paradox, you know. So, Buddhist, our teaching tells us not to, you know, not to be discriminative, you know, in birth and death.
But still, as living beings, we should.
Yes.
Try to avoid it.
Yeah, try to. That is, you know, the try to avoid means to be, to continue our life, you know. So we, as long as we live, in our our life is continuous, you see. Well, our idea of time is continuous. To live long is in time span. we try to live long. We try to continue our life. And that is our tendency. But at the same time, you know, we want to enjoy our life moment after moment. When you go to the moon, you may say, oh, the moon was a wonderful place. You say so. That is idea of discontinuity. You don't want to be discontinued, but no, you don't want to live just even the moon is so beautiful place. You don't want to live in the moon always. So when you appreciate your life in the moon, you have both desire to be continuously live. If so, you will not stay so long at the same place because you want to continue your life. If you want to continue your life, even though you want to continue your life, you know, if you realize we are continually going some other place, that is also which you don't like. If it is something good, you want to stay there for a long time until you are really tired of it. That is, you know, idea of discontinuity. So, but when we talk about our life, we are deeply involved in, first of all, the idea of continuity. That is why you don't like death. But actually, when you enjoy something very much, you are involved in idea of continuity, discontinuity. That you stay one place for a long time means is not possible, but that you want to live in this world forever means the idea of discontinuity. That you say, you know, this is quarter of nine, you know, that is idea of discontinuity. So, you know, we are very selfish, you know. Selfish, we are not. Our feeling is not so what do you say? Our emotional activity doesn't work so well, you know, so impartially. If we see one thing, we cannot see the other side. That is good, you know, but at the same time, we should know the other side of the truth. Did I? Yeah, I.
It has something to do with non-attachment somehow. That we live by understanding. Shikantata, we would appreciate it very much, but we would not try to hold on to it. Is that something?
when we practice shikantaza, we go back before this kind of feeling arises. Do you understand?
Inactivity
and in our feeling. We have no emotional attachment, or we have no feeling of no thinking. If some thinking activity arises, we will be involved in, you know, some confusion.
So to say appreciation means thinking?
Yeah, usually it is so. But when we say appreciation in its true sense, detached from emotional things and thinking faculty, and to have direct experience of it, it's non-detachment or shikantaza. Oh, excuse me. Do you have some more questions? Hi. To practice Buddhism for Buddhism is not to practice Buddhism in terms of good or bad. Or in terms of I like Buddhism or I don't like it. Whatever it is, if it is true, we should study it and we should practice it. That is our spirit.